You are listening to a digitally remastered class of Rav Yochanan Zweig, Rosh HaYeshiva of the Talmudic University of Florida. This class is from the Robert L. and Rhoda Lipton Foundation Audio Library. For more information, please call 305-534-7050 or 1-888-TALMUDIC. That's 1-888-TALMUDIC. Or you can visit our website at www.talmudicu.edu.
Rosh Hashanah begins the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. It doesn't seem that on Rosh Hashanah there's any part of the liturgy, the Mitzvah Sayom, have anything to do with Tshuva. It's very difficult to understand. The Rambam says that in order, the Mitzvah is really not even Tshuva, the Mitzvah is Vidui, to go through the Oshamnus. We don't even say that on Rosh Hashanah. Rambam says the tshuva is a precondition for vidui. Why is it part of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva? Then the Aseres Yemei Tshuva should not include Rosh Hashanah. Secondly, the Rambam introduces in Hilchos Tshuva something very interesting. Perek Hei, he begins discussing the whole notion of Bechira. There's a number of prokim describing Bechira, discussing Bechira. Actually, Bechira doesn't only relate to Tshuva. Bechira is really the basis of the entire Torah, because without free choice, you can't hold a person responsible for anything he does. The mitzvahs assume a person has free choice. So how come, in fact, let's say in Perek Shvi, the Rambam has such a funny language, Hoyo Rishus Kol Odom Nesunalo, because a person has free choice, as we explain, Yishtado Odom Lasus Tshuva. Therefore, a person should do tshuva. I mean, therefore, you should do tshuva. Without free choice, no mitzvahs make any sense. So there's a sefer from Reb David Reb Shmuel Kochovi, the sefer Abatim on the Rambam. So I took a look at it. It's very interesting. He has on Hilchos Tshuva, and he says, towards the end of his Hilchos Tshuva, it's three volumes from a Rishon on the Rambam, it's one of the Rishonim, he says that Bechira, I already explained Yesodi HaTorah. We don't have that. But somehow we lost, it's been lost through the ages, his commentary on Hilchos Yesodi HaTorah, and he writes here in Hilchos Tshuva, the reason he's not describing and getting involved and explaining the Rambam is regarding free choice, because he already wrote about free choice in Hilchos Yesodi HaTorah. So you see from him, he also understood the place to discuss free choice is Yesodi HaTorah. But in fact, in the Rambam, it's the opposite. Free choice does not exist at all in Yesodi HaTorah, in the basic principles of the Torah. And he only begins talking about free choice in Hilchos Tshuva. It's very difficult to understand. Furthermore, the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Tshuva that there's Dalet Chelke Kapor. There are four different types of averus a person does, and there are different types of atonement. And he says for an Essa, a person requires tshuva. If a person is transgressed on a low sasa, on a negative prohibition, that requires tshuva and Yom Kippur. Chayvi krisis, that requires tshuva, Yom Kippur, and oinshin. And Chil Hashem requires the first three plus death, misa mechaper. So it sounds like that tshuva on a low sasa is not in of itself sufficient. Later on, in Perek Zion, he says, Perek Zion, Halacha Zion, tshuva is very exceptionally powerful. Yesterday, you were separated from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Today, and you cried yesterday, you prayed, you weren't answered. Not only that, you did mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ripped them in front of your face. He says, who wants this, you tramplers of my courtyard? Today, you're cleaving to the Shekhinah, You cry out, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu immediately answers you. You do mitzvahs, and he takes them b'nachas u'b'simcha. And not only that, he wants your mitzvahs. Shenemar v'orval Hashem minchas Yehuda. The unbelievable thing is, the Rambam says yesterday and today. In fact, his not even yesterday and today, his language in the Rambam is last night and today. Last night you were Rosha, and in the morning, if you do tshuva, you're a tzaddik. You know, he's actually paraphrasing the Gemara. In recent Talmud Chacham, Shavar Aver Balayla, he did a sin at night, out the Hara Achrav, don't concern yourself with it, because in the morning he vaday did tshuva. So you see that tshuva happens literally from night to day, the same 24-hour period. And in the beginning, the Rambam gave us a whole litany of different categories that not only isn't tshuva enough, you even have to wait till Yom Kippur, and not only sometimes Yom Kippur is enough. And here he's a person who Hashem is ripping up his mitzvahs, and who, does he want anything? It's not likely the person has only been over an essa. That's a person who is doing losas. Is also, the Rambam tells us that on the losas, so you have Yom Kippur, you can't change from day to night. Another problem is that the Rambam tells us that you need vidui. And the Gemara says in Kedushin, if a person says Minchas Chinuch Kasha Reiat Mekudeshesli Al Menas Ani Etzad Degomer, that I'm righteous, so we have to be concerned that it's a Sofei Kedushin, because maybe he was Mahar Tshuva Bedaito, and therefore he really is a tzaddik. The question is, the Rambam tells us that that's not good enough. You can't do that. You need vidui also. The general answer, I mean, Gedolei Achroinim, the Mabit, the general answer to these questions, just different ways, very fascinating ways to explain it, but the general answer is that the original, the tshuva in Perek Aleph is, if you want, perfect tshuva. But if you want just to get a shame of a tzaddik, or you know, you've changed your direction, you're not mamish, you don't get forgiveness, but you've changed your direction, and memela, it's not real tshuva, it's not the real thing, but it's good enough that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants your mitzvahs, it's good enough to be called a tzaddik. But real tshuva is what the Rambam writes in Perek Aleph, that you need tshuva and you need vidui. That's the general answer to this question. Tonight I'd really like to say a totally different answer to that question, totally different premise. Weiter, the Yerushalmi says that Sholol Chochma, logic, was asked what should happen to a Ma'o Einshul Shochote, what should happen to a evil person. He will be pursued, he'll become, continue on his path of evil, only bad will follow him. Sholol Nevuah, and then they asked the prophets, what do you do with evil, what's the punishment of an evil person? A nefesh achotasi tomus, has to die. Shol a Torah. Torah was asked. Yovi karv miyaskaper. You can bring a sacrifice and achieve atonement. Shol a kodesh baruch hu, the Almighty, was asked, and he says you can do tshuva. So you show me in the second parak of Makkos. Excuse me, in the third parak of Makkos. The obvious question. I don't know why it was so obvious. It should have been obvious to me many years ago, but I think the simplest question is, you can't bring a carbon without doing tshuva. A carbon, you can't bring a carbon, get atonement. That the Rambam paskins in Perek Aleph. A carbon itself is zevach rishoyim toeva. A person who, even if I'm obligated to bring a carbon, if I bring a carbon, I did a sin, now here's a carbon, bring a sacrifice for atonement, I don't get any atonement. I actually need to go through the process of vidui, of tshuva, which is a prerequisite of vidui. So the Chazal, what are Chazal talking about? They asked the Torah, and the Torah says, bring a carbon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says tshuva. So what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu The Torah already said you have to do tshuva and bring a korban. So now, what Chazal mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, forget about the korban? In the Torah he wrote, do tshuva and bring a korban, because without doing tshuva, you can't even bring a korban. It's Zevach Rishoyim Toever. It's like the Rambam here brings, Mi Bikei Zos V'yetchem Ramos Chatzeroy. Who wants these things? Lovely Rose Yivchachechem, the Yeshaya Novi says. Who wants this? Mi Bikei Zos V'yetchem, who wants this? So it means you have to do tshuva. You can't just bring korbanos. If you have to do tshuva, so then what, so, and the Torah says tshuva and korbanos. So what now Kodesh Baruch says, no, you know, forget about the korbanos, just do tshuva. So he's changing the laws of the immutable truth of the Torah. How do we understand? What's the Yerushalmi say? In order to begin understanding this, I'd like to begin with a very fascinating, I think, Rabbeinu Yoina in Shar Gimel in Shari Tshuva. So it's a very interesting yesod. We had in last week's parsha Bacharta Bachayim regarding Bechira. Torah tells us, gave you Broch and Klola, Bacharta Bachayim. Use your choice and be choose Chayim. Rabbeinu Yonah says to be Boicher, the right thing, is a mitzvah Eser Deraisa. He counts this in the Taryag mitzvahs. It's a mitzvah to choose the right thing. What's he talking? How could it be a mitzvah? There's already a mitzvah to do the right thing. In order to do the right thing, I have to choose to do the right thing. So what, there's like an extra mitzvah every time you do the right thing, you get two mitzvahs. You did the right thing and you chose to do the right thing. What is Rabbeinu Yonah talking about? He says there is a mitzvah, the mitzvah of Bechira is you have a mitzvah in the Torah to choose to do the right thing. The Torah obligated you to do the right thing. When you do the right thing, you have the mitzvah of doing the right thing. What do you mean that there's a mitzvah of Bechira? I think the chat's like this, and I think this is the beginning of the understanding of the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't pass that it's a mitzvah. He doesn't say it's a mitzvah of Bechira. But what he's saying is like this, Rabbeinu Yonah. This is, obviously, you have to do the right thing. The Torah already told you, you have to do the right thing. You have to do this, you have to put on tefillin. You have to put on tefillin. Putting on tefillin, I don't get two mitzvahs, one of putting on tefillin and of mitzvah bechira. Or eating matzah, I have the mitzvah of matzah, and I have the mitzvah, I chose to eat matzah, and therefore I should get two mitzvahs. The mitzvah of choosing to eat matzah, and the mitzvah of eating matzah. It's unbelievable what he's saying. What he's saying is like this, the mitzvah is not to choose the right thing. The mitzvah is to be ubacharta b'chayim. The mitzvah is not about doing the right thing. The mitzvah is about understanding what I'm doing. I can choose to do the right thing. Let me give a number of examples. A very clear yesod over here. Enormous ramifications. Person has an obligation to feed his family. He goes out and works, makes a living, and feeds his family. Okay? So what he's done, he's chosen to work in order to feed his family. Another person says, you know what? I love my family. I'm going to go out to work because I love them and I want to take care of them. Both people have gone out to work to feed their family. But one of them, the working was a way of making money to fulfill his obligation to feed his family. And with the other person, every time he goes to work and gets out of bed and every cold call he makes or everything he sells or whatever he does, he is doing an act of love for his family. It's two totally different levels of feeling and relationship with his family. And the first one, a man goes to work, makes money, and brings home a check, and he feeds his family. Because he's only choosing to work in order to feed his family. Why does he have to feed his family? He's obligated to feed his family. What about a person who loves his family and says, you know what, I really want them to have nice things. I'm going to work because I love them. Every time he goes to work and everything he does is an expression of his love. Both he has a a totally different relationship with the children. The children understand him differently. His wife understands him differently. The mitzvah of Bechira is not only to do the right thing. There's the mitzvah of Bacharta Bachayim. It's to understand that the essence of doing the right thing is because this itself is the definition of life. This is existence itself. The whole definition of doing mitzvahs is because this is life. This is life. This is what is, this is the essence of life. I can do the right thing for many different reasons. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to do the right thing, not because I'm obligated to do the right thing, but to understand that doing the right thing is not just doing the right thing, I'm actually choosing life. This is existence itself. This is the whole meaning of life. This is what's valuable in life. This is living. This is living. Doing the mitzvahs is living. That's what the mitzvah of Bechira is, which becomes clear. You can do the mitzvahs because you have to do them, or because you're obligated, or you can do the mitzvahs because this is life. It's a special mitzvah, according to the Rabbeinu Yonah, to do a mitzvah not just because it's the right thing to do, but because it's living itself, it's life itself. According to the Rambam, what Bechir is like this. Obviously, there's a Bechir that belongs in Yesodi HaTorah. That Bechir means that man has free choice. Of course, if you were programmed, then it's not possible you should have any responsibility. Man is not programmed. That's axiomatic to Yiddishkeit. That's an a priori axiom that man is not programmed. Man would be programmed, then he can't be. He can't give a mitzvah to a programmed man. He was either programmed or he wasn't programmed. However he acts, he was already programmed. The whole notion of a mitzvah means you were not programmed. That's axiomatic to Yiddishkeit. What the Rambam is pasking in Hilchos Tshuva, he doesn't pask in the mitzvah Bacharta Bachayim, but he paskins that is what the din of Tshuva is. Tshuva is choosing to do something because Ubacharta Bachayim, because I want a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And let me tell you how he knows that. You know, we got so used to thinking that Tshuva is in order to fix up sin. That's the first mistake. Tshuva is not about fixing up sin at all. Tshuva was created 2,000 years before creation. Tshuva is not a response to how to deal if you went off the path. Tshuva is before creation. What does it mean tshuva is before creation? When a person was created, the very fact that I have a physical being itself is a separation between me and Kaviyocho. The whole sense of physicality is a distance between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We were created in order to be Shav. The whole purpose of creation is to return, to reconnect ourselves to Kaviyocho. That's the purpose of creation. It has nothing at all to do with Chet. If there would be no Chet at all, and you never did anything wrong, the purpose of creation is not to do anything wrong. Adam had not eaten from the Eitz Hadas. That's not enough. It has to be that Adam is choosing to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the essence of creation itself is a separation. The person's physicality itself, by its very nature, is a separation from first it's a separation from spirituality, but in Kaviyochel is way beyond spirituality. It's a sense of separation from him. We think in terms of finite things. We think in terms of physical things. The whole purpose of creation is to be a shov, to return. That which makes that return possible is our ability to choose. Because the definition of who we are is not what we do, is the reason we chose to do it. The whole definition of what a human being is not by what he does alone. It is for what is the reason he chose to do. If I chose to do it because I love my family, that's one level of reality. If I chose because I have to pay off my debts, it's a different level. Bechira means, ubacharta b'chayim means I have to choose because it's life. The place where this becomes expressed, this ability to make a choice and to determine what I'm doing is not just the right thing, but in order to bring me close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is what the Rambam calls tshuva. Tshuva is the internal desire or mission or role of the human being to bring himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring himself close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not about fixing up sins. It's not about observing mitzvahs. It's about bringing himself close. And a person was given free choice, which means he's not just free to choose what he wants, but that his choices actually determine what his actions are. Not just he's not programmed, therefore he could do this or that. The reason I choose to do something is actually what defines who I am. That's really what free choice. There's a level of free choice that's not only I can do, no one is pushing me in any direction, but free choice means I can actually make choices. I can choose life, and if I choose that, then everything I do flows from that choice, and therefore it's a choice of life. Doing a mitzvah can be a choice of life, or it can be just parei achov. I'm just paying a debt. It's a whole different reality. That is what the essence of tshuva is. It expresses itself in Hilchos Tshuva. That's what he's saying. Since a person has free will, which means I have the ability, not only that I can do whatever I want, but that I can actually give myself definition by what I do. My choice is not only to act or not to act, but my choice, what I'm thinking about, what my intentions are, define my actions. As the Torah says, "Ubacharta b'chaim," they define your actions. They actually give you life when you make those choices. When you make that choice, you actually become defining yourself, giving yourself life. Your choices literally define you. The same action with a state of mind makes you, connects you to life. Therefore, we're mechuyev to do tshuva, not to fix up the sin. That's what propels and drives a person to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what tshuva is. Tshuva is man's inherent awakening, man, an inherent need, inherent purpose to bring himself close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The thing which allows him to do this, that gives him the ability to bring himself close, not just to do actions, but to give his actions meaning and definition, and he can define himself. That's Bechira. That's what the Rambam is saying. He doesn't call it the mitzvah Bechira. According to the Rabbeinu Yonah, it's Bechira. According to the Rambam, it's included in Shuvah. But that's what Bechirta, that must be what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying. Bechirta Bechayim, you are giving, you are making yourself connected to life. You're giving yourself a reality. You're giving yourself existence by your choices, not just doing the right thing. You're giving yourself a definition. That's the din of Shuvah. That tshuva, we're saying now differently, we've said before, and I think that many learn, it's exactly the opposite. This is a much higher level of tshuva than the tshuva of Perek Aleph. It's a much higher level. In Perek Aleph, in the Rambam, I've done something wrong. Did something wrong. I owe an apology. Sometimes I owe a sacrifice. Sometimes I deserve some punishment. You know, a child does something wrong, he's waiting. He's waiting for his parent to criticize him or smack him, or put him in timeout. God forbid, no one smacks their kids. They only put him in timeout. A child wants that. He feels better. He's been parei achovo. His father exacted from him some punishment. He feels better. But nothing has changed in the essence of the basis of the relationship. In Perek Hay, when the Rambam starts talking about tshuva, he's talking about changing my entire relationship. That whatever I thought the relationship was till now, I wanted a totally different, I have a whole different understanding of what mitzvahs are. I want to define my mitzvahs that's giving me life. I'm trying a whole different understanding that my relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving me existence. This is what it's all about. Give an example. Let's say there's somebody, bachur in the yeshiva, and over the years you've lent him some money, he hasn't paid you back all the time, he still owes you some money, and then he becomes your son-in-law. It's not, the pshat is, yeah, Yitaka owes you money. We won't go into the question whether or not you owe him money. We're going to leave that out for tonight. But he owes you money. But in the new relationship, it's totally irrelevant to the relationship. He'll be an erlich person, he'll talk to pay off. But there's no way that a father, hey, by the way, you remember 3 years ago I lent you $25, you didn't pay me back yet. The relationship has so transcended that even though he owes it, that's not something that's going to come to the fore of the father. Where's those $25? By the way, it's never forgotten, because if he ever, the relationship ever goes south and he's furious, he'll bring up, and not only that, he still owes me those $25 too. The chov is not wiped out, but there's no way that in this relationship, it's irrelevant to the father. That doesn't mean that the son-in-law shouldn't pay the money. That's not in the shaila, it's the right thing to do. But it literally affects nothing. There's no way he'll bring it up. The relationship is so beyond that that's totally irrelevant. That's what the Rambam is posketing. The din of tshuva, of choosing of a bachar to bachayim, a whole new level of relationship, that it doesn't really, he's not going to bring, where's the korban? Where's the korban? I want the Torah says bring a korban. The Torah says bring the korban if you're not really a shov. There's a halach of tshuva. There's a halach of tshuva. They have to bring a korban, right? The Yerushalmi says that what the Torah says, if you do a chet, you should bring a yovi korban yiskaper. HaKadosh Baruch says just do tshuva. So our question was, the Torah says you have to do tshuva too. So what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wiped it out? The level of tshuva that you need for Perek Aleph, I'm sorry, I apologize, I won't do it again, here's what I owe you. That's the level of tshuva. That takes away, you're not a Rosha, Zevach Rishoyim Taweva, I'm paying you what I owe you, the korban is some measure of what I'm indebted to you. Of course this requires tshuva. If you're not sorry, so you bring me a korban, you're a Rosha. The tshuva of Perek Zion is a tshuva where I want a whole different level. What the Yerushalmi is saying, there's a whole level. I'm not going to bring up korban. You want to be upstanding? Bring a korban. Without a question, bring a korban. Bring a korban. But I'm not. You have been insisted, or you've been conveying in your mind that you want a whole new closeness. A total new closeness. This becomes irrelevant. It's just not no gay in me. You want to do probably whatever imperfections you had from the sin are not fixed either. But in terms of our relationship, we've transcended that level of relationship, that closeness. That's I'm not going to bring that up. I'm going to bring up the $25, yo. I'm not going to bring it up. Which means that the tshuva of Yovi Korban Yiskaper is the tshuva after sin. That's the tshuva, Perek Aleph, that you have to be sorry and apologize. What the Yerushalmi is talking about, you should be shov, is referring to the tshuva that existed before sin. The whole sense that I have, my whole being is to understand that I have to be close to you and there's nothing else in the world and everything else makes no difference. That's the tshuva. That at that level, if a person reaches that level of tshuva, that it's just not all that important. I mean, that's not going to be dealt with at this particular time. It's not going to be dealt with at this time. That's the difference now between Perek Aleph and Perek Zion too. Perek Aleph is how you wipe out a sin without substantially making a huge effort to change the underlying basis of the relationship. Perek Zion, and that requires Yom Kippur sometimes, it requires Yisur. Without that, I mean, we have debts here. You know, you're still Bachur in Yeshiva, where's the money? Now, it's 3 times a year, keep on borrowing. I just need some payment after a while. But if you've changed the whole basis of the relationship, that happens right away. It's just not relevant. Again, it doesn't fix up whatever imperfection you have because you're not erlich that you didn't pay your debts. But I'm not coming to be Monday. There's no, it's just not relevant as long as we're close. That's not important to me. I'm not going to demand it. You have to fix it up for your sake. But as far as me, that's not something I'm not going to sit on you for. It's not something I'm going to demand from you. That's your obligation to yourself to do. It's two totally, totally different perspectives on tshuva. The tshuva of after the sin, which doesn't have to change the relationship, and the tshuva that is the underlying desire to bring the relationship to a totally new level. You know, what's the difference, really, what we do every day? We just, not necessarily here. What's the difference between Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim and Kabbalas Mitzvahs? Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, 613 mitzvahs, Kabbalas mitzvahs. What do you have to do in Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim? Something beyond the mitzvahs? Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, Kabbalas mitzvahs, I'm going to do 613 mitzvahs. Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim means I'm willing to give my life for you. Which means, what that really means, now that's also a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. But what it really means is, that is life. Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim means that is life to me. The reason I give my life for you, because that's life! That's really what Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim means. I'm not just accepting to do mitzvahs. I want to understand and internalize that that's life. That's literally the definition of life. I'm going to live and not do. I should be alive and not and there should be a chil Hashem. The whole definition of life and existence is my relationship with you, and therefore, for state's sake, I'm going to give my life. It's not even a question. You can have a commitment to do the mitzvahs, and then you can have a whole different level. That's what Rosh Hashanah is. Rosh Hashanah is hamloch. Rosh Hashanah is the ultimate of tshuva. That is literally the ultimate of tshuva. The redefining my whole definition of man in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world. In fact, everything we say in the Malchus, the Tavir Mem Shelez Zodom Yina Aretz and the Simloch HaKol Olam, the whole sense, it's a whole different perspective. You should be the definition of life. You should be the definition of the Olam of existence. That's the ultimate of tshuva. That's the tshuva Perek Zayin. That's what we're doing here. Tshuva doesn't mean fixing up sin. I mean, there's that too, but what tshuva really means is getting close to Him and redefining what existence is. That's what Hamloch is. The Aseres Yemei Tshuva are not the Rosh Hashanah part of Aseres Yemei Tshuva is not working on fixing sin. It's working on the essence of, it's working on the Bacharta Bachayim of tshuva. The whole inyan is the Kabbalas Malchus. The whole inyan is to redefine our relationship, to take it to a new level. Of course, even if we do it this year, to the extent Chas V'Shalom we fell down, we did it last year, we fell down, that means it wasn't real. So every year we have to try and bring it to the level that we would have wanted it last year, but we fell short during the year. Because if you really understood this was life itself and there's nothing else that gives any value and the whole purpose is covered Shemayim and not what we have, then of course you wouldn't have done since. So you might have given lip service, but we really didn't do it. But to the extent that what we mean that on Rosh Hashanah, to that extent, then what it means is that we are actually doing the essence of tshuva. And therefore, that's not the way it helps also. He's not going to bring up the din, ain't Adam needin' Adam is needin' ba'is ha'shoah. You know, the Kriyas HaTorah on Rosh Hashanah is Parshas Vayera. On the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we read Hashem Pakad HaSor. To me, it's clear. I mean, I don't understand what anyone's talking about Hashem Pakad HaSor because she became pregnant on that. Who knows that she became pregnant then? And besides, we should read Parshas Miketz because Yosef went out from the base of Surim. That's not what we read. We read it on Rosh Hashanah because the essence is the story of Yishmael, the whole essence. It doesn't make a difference what you did. It makes a difference who you are now. That's the essence of tshuva. Everything else, there'll be a cheshbon for it. Of course, there'll be a time they have to fix that up. But to the extent that you redefine yourself, that this is who you are and this is what you want now, that's what you are. And that's the relationship that we create on Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, those sins, they're just, it's not no geya my giving you chaim. You are bacharta bachaim, you get a psak of chaim, because bacharta bachaim, because you chose that this is your definition of life. You want to be meiser nefesh, the whole tachas of the world is Hashem, is kavod shemayim, the whole purpose is His presence in the world. That's what you choose. So that's your bacharta bachaim. On this level, those things are to be addressed, or you work them out when you can. But what I am paskening you is who you are right now. The essence of tshuva. I mean, it has to be. It can't be a seris yomei tshuva. We learn out from the psukim. Ela seris yomei tshuva. Asor yomim. The Navi says, and Chazal say it's referring to Aseres Yemei Tshuva, means Rosh Hashanah is from the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Where's the Tshuva in Rosh Hashanah? Kabbalah's Malchus is the ultimate Tshuva, because Tshuva is, the ultimate Tshuva is not on the Chedetz, it's on creating the basis of the relationship. Which of course, now it's simple why Rosh Hashanah is before Yom Kippur. I mean, you can't even think otherwise. This is the whole essence of everything, is the relationship. It's not about fixing up the details. Yom Kippur is to be Mesakin the details, either for your sake, but the essence is yesterday you were sonu. Yesterday was ripping up your mitzvahs. In the more emesh, last night, now you're ohuv. It's not unlikely also, by the way, the whole story of Eiv, Chazal say on Eiv, that if he hadn't have been mecharef, he would have been like the ovus. Been like, oh, we'd be okay. Chazal say we've been Elkei Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Eiv. We were saying Shimon Esrei Elkei Eiv. Didn't clue. Chazal tell us that Vehi Hayom, that was Rosh Hashanah. The story of Eiv is a Rosh Hashanah story. The Malach and this, who's the whole story in the first parak of Eiv, is a Rosh Hashanah story that the Sultan is trying to get Hakadosh Baruch Hu to test Eiv, because that is really what Rosh Hashanah is. What is life? Is my family, my friends, my wealth, my houses, my cattle. At the end of the day, Eve is getting the ultimate Rosh Hashanah test. What is your definition of life? If your definition of life is your relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to get upset about. If your definition of life is all the other things, he's being mamish tested in what the essence of life is to. That's the definition of what Rosh Hashanah is. It's the test of how we define life. How we define, have we been shoved to him? Do we think that there is a separation between him and us? And there's life and there's all the wonderful things we have and all the wonderful material things we have. Yeah, of course we have to do mitzvahs, we have to pay. It's not for free. There's no free lunch. We have to. Or do we have a different definition of life? Life is our relationship with Him. That is life. And to the extent on Rosh Hashanah, that's what we have to choose. That's the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. That's the tshuva that's before creation. That's the tshuva that's before Chet. Had Eve passed that test, he'd be okay. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Eve. The fact that he was Mecharef, then you understand, he was resenting. You took away from me. I'm missing this. I'm lacking this. By the way, I don't want Chas V'Shalom to be Mamai to you. We're not talking about any of us on 1/100th of 1% or 1/1000th of 1/100th of 1%. We would be complaining too. I'm just saying, but the way Chazal think that Eve could have been like Avram Avinu, you understand on what he's being tested on his level. That if he has some resentment that he lost something, then he doesn't ultimately define his existence by that. Had he totally defined his existence by that, he'd be Mamish and Av. He'd be the same as Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. So now, instead of saying what we've always said, that the tshuva of Perek Aleph, and others have said it in different ways, that the tshuva of Perek Aleph is a complete tshuva, and Perek Zion is a smaller tshuva, it's exactly the opposite. Yeah, there is a certain thing that's in Perek Aleph, it's not in Perek Zion, but the higher level of tshuva is the one that's a function of before the chet, the one that's the function of Bechira, the Rosh Hashanah din of tshuva. It's much more powerful. It can do a lot more. There's a much greater accomplishment. One of them, you're dealing with a prat, you're fixing up a slight. The other one, you're redefining and elevating the relationship from a business relationship to a love relationship to whatever, to realizing that's all of what life is, that the only definition is how close we are to Him. So the Rambam brings that we're only going to be nigah on the schus of tshuva. This to me was a little bit unbelievable. We're learning last Shabbos morning. What does it mean? In the schus of, you can only have geul in the schus of tshuva. She never volitz on goyel l'shavei fesha b'yakov. The Gemara says, what does that mean? Of course, we're thrown into golus because we have more sins than mitzvahs. So of course we do tshuva. You change the computation and geul. What the Gemara is telling us is geul is tshuva. By wanting to get close to him, it's not about fixing up the computation the sins could be. But the changing, that I want to be close to him. And that I've b'chart to b'chaim, all I want to be close to him, the sins will be taken care of. That creates gula. That itself is redemption. Redemption requires not the tshuva fixing up the sins. It requires the fixing up the sins, so you have to fix up enough sins to make sure that you've changed. It has nothing to do with that. What geula requires is the tshuva before sin. Geula means he's bringing us back to him. If we decide we want to go back to him, that that our whole purpose and the whole reason, the etch of our existence and the whole definition of our existence is our relationship with him, that taka brings tshuva. That brings geula. That is geula. Whether we can all get to that level or not, it's hard to know. I mean, it's hard to do. But the understanding that how we define ourselves and what who we think we are is really much more critical than what we do, because who we are defines every single action that I do. It's what we all have to work on Rosh Hashanah. I'll learn another 4 hours a week. But it's very important to do. That goes with Perek Aleph. What about giving myself a new definition on the Ben Torah? Defining myself as a Ben Torah is not about 4 more hours. That's a whole different feeling of what life is, what's important in life, what the aspirations of life are. The tshuva we have to think about on Rosh Hashanah is not the tshuva of fixing up the particular chatam. If we had to do that, we would be doing a shamnus. I did this and I did that. What we have to do is the tshuva of before chet, the tshuva of getting closer. The getting closer begins with beginning to understand what we should be, what we have to aspire to be, who we are. Because that tshuva affects every single thing that we do, becomes changed because of that. Obviously, the ultimate goal, and the totality of the goal is that that's b'chart b'chayim, that's the only thing, that's life itself. But you know, there's steps in that too. In everything there's steps. One of the most important steps is defining ourselves to B'nai Yeshivas, B'nai Torah, and to Balabatim. Defining yourself as a Ben Torah is much more life-changing than any other decision you make. It's not about going to a shir in the morning or about going to a shir at night. Defining ourselves as a Ben Torah which means you can't define yourself as a Ben Torah of how many shirim you go to or the way you dress. It's not about that. It's about understanding what is really our mission and role in life and say, that's what's important to me. You know, at some point in life, someone made a decision, I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a professional. I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to sell insurance. Someone made a decision what he wants to be. In Ruchnius, we have to make exactly the same that. We have to define it. What do I want to be? That tshuva is not to do with chet. That tshuva, that sense of self-definition, is the essence of who we are. And that's what we become. And everything we do is changed. If that's the reason, once I get a definition of who I am, then everything I do changes. Yeah, there's more beyond that. I'm saying that's what we have to think about in Russia. Of course it's the day of tshuva. Sarah, she made tshuva. But it's not to work out the particular chet, it's to give ourselves a sense of self-definition, to think about who I am. What am I choosing to become? What's my purpose in the world? How can I start returning? How can I start finding, go along the path to Bechar to Bechaim? Instead of focusing on, I've got to come to a few more minyan this week. Got to learn another hour. Bein Hasdor. That's important. And to some extent, of course, like the Chinuch said, Odom Nifal Lefi Masa. Of course we're affected by what we do. But more affected by how what we do affects us is more determined of who I think I am and what I want to be than what I'm doing. The whole yesod is of tshuva is that we have the ability to become who we want to be. We have free will to make ourselves who we want to be. And every single thing we do after that will be driven by that. Of course, there's an ultimate goal. We have to say everything. Of course, we want to be Mekabel Malchus, and we want to be the whole purpose of creation. There should be no Chas V'Shalom more Rishus in the world, and there should be his presence, and that's really the Tachlis. And it doesn't make a difference what I have or what I don't have. What makes a difference is, does he have a purpose? Am I close to that purpose? Am I fulfilling his purpose? But just a way, mamish, a step along the way, is to start focusing on who am I? What do I want for my life? What do I want to be? Make that definition. That's what tshuva is. It has nothing to do with Yesodi HaTorah. Yesodi HaTorah is, I have choice to do what I want to do. We're not talking about doing what I want to do. We're talking about becoming who I want to become. We make that choice. And of course, the ultimately, again, of becoming is not my becoming. Ultimately is, the ultimate level here is, u'bachayta b'chayim, that all I want to do is m'siris nefesh. This is what he wants. And the whole existence is only doing what he wants. Steps along the way is what our goal is. That's the avod of Rosh Hashanah. That's before Yom Kippur. It's more fundamental than Yom Kippur. That's what the Rambam is telling us, is the yesod of what tshuva is. And that literally works immediately. Literally immediately it works. Last night to today. That's Rosh Hashanah. We do that, and that's schus. The fact that we're thinking along those paths itself, it should talk to be a schus for us to have a ksiva chasim tova, the whole community, and the volitzi and goyim. Shabbos, good chunk of ksiva chasim tova, and the same for shal tzadikim, and the more malta l'chaim tova shal.